This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome into this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on episode 6 this week. That's right, we're recording a lot. Can't help it. It's the season opener on Sunday for the Birds against the Washington football team in D.C. Coming up on today's edition of the episode, I want to get into the biggest storylines for this matchup between these NFC East rivals for the Eagles, not only on the offensive side of the football, but the defensive side as well. If you missed any of the other 5 podcasts me and Gino did this week, be sure to subscribe to the show on any podcast platform. It could be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. You name it, we are available wherever you listen to your podcasts, or on LockedOnEagles.com if you like to listen to your shows on your desktop computer. Maybe you're at work in your cubicle. We are available on LockedOnEagles.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. We're going to be talking Birds all week, and especially during the game, you'll have my live raw reactions to the matchup against Washington. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. Gino is on Twitter at Gino_LOE. So like I said, today we're going to get into the biggest storylines for the Birds on both sides of the football. Let's also take a look at what is a very positive injury report on Friday for the Birds. This actually just came out a couple minutes ago on Twitter by the Eagles' official Twitter account. Miles Sanders, Lane Johnson, Jalen Reagor, Derek Barnett, and Corey Clement, really the big players that are on that injury report, all practiced fully on Friday. So Sanders, Johnson, Barnett, those three are questionable. Doug Peterson said today in his press conference that all three look really good, and their status is still unknown, but all three have a good chance of playing on Sunday. As for Reagor and Corey Clement, they're not even listed as questionable. The official game statuses came out a couple minutes ago. Reagor and Clement, they're good to go. Jalen Reagor is going to play in this football game. Questionable is Miles Sanders, Lane Johnson, and Derek Barnett. Alshon Jeffrey ruled out, as was defensive tackle Javon Hargrave. So no Hargrave means Malik Jackson will start next to Fletcher Cox on the interior of the defensive line. But I think when it comes to the questionable guys, they really, like I've been saying all week, they really need Lane Johnson to play, or else it's going to be a combo of Matt Pryor and either Nate Herbig or Jack Driscoll. I think Pryor could play right tackle if Johnson doesn't play, and Herbig probably at right guard, or maybe Pryor stays at right guard and you move Driscoll to right tackle where he played mostly at Auburn. So Johnson's the big one they need. I think Barnett they can do without this week with Vinnie Curry and Josh Sweat as well. On the edge, and Malik Jackson can also play at defensive end. Miles Sanders, I think he's probably going to play, but I think they're going to bring him along very slowly with this hamstring injury that he also suffered last year. And if the weather is a little bit rainy, you know, for a running back like him, a LeSean McCoy type back that likes to cut on a dime, you want to bring him along slower. So I think he could be on a limited snap count or maybe a touches count. Expect a lot of Boston Scott and Corey Clement on Sunday. But I'm so pumped. I cannot believe Jalen Reagor is going to play. I mean, the way this kid recovered from that shoulder injury, remember, it was, we thought he was going to be out at least. He was definitely going to miss Sunday's season opener against Washington. We thought he was definitely going to miss week 2 against the Rams, and maybe he comes back on a limited basis against the Cincinnati Bengals week 3. Nope. Jalen Reagor is going to play. I still think he's going to split time with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Greg Ward. I think there's going to be times where Reagor plays outside, maybe Greg Ward's in the slot. Also, you could push Reagor inside and move J-Jaw outside, but I think there will also be times where it's Arcega-Whiteside and Ward out there with DeSean Jackson, who's going to be out there all the time. When it comes to 12 personnel and when you use 2 receivers, though, I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if they don't hold back Reagor. If he's feeling good and he's playing well and handling the offense well like he has all summer, unleash this kid. I just I cannot wait to see him and DeSean Jackson on the field at the same time. I want to see at one point, yeah, I think J-Jaw and Greg Ward are going to be the other two receivers that play a lot. Give me just a couple snaps of a 11 personnel formation, three receiver set, with DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, and John Hightower. I just want to see that speed trio, a Chiefs-like, you know, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman combination. Just give me a couple looks with Jackson, Reagor, and Hightower on Sunday. I'm so pumped to see the rookie play. I mean, there's just so much riding on him being a long-term staple for Carson Wentz on the outside at wide receiver. So coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, we're going to get into some of the biggest storylines for this matchup on both offense and defense. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we are sponsored today by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with the condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. You can learn from the best, like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And guys, we are also sponsored today by CBMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spent 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. They have the CBD Freeze with menthol. It's an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. And then CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. All right, Eagles fans, we are wrapping up this week of shows. It's the first game week of episodes on the Locked On Eagles podcast. 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to the show. This is episode 6, and let's get into the biggest storyline. So yesterday on Crossover Thursday, Gino Camilleri sat down with Locked On Washington host Chris Russell and got into a lot of the big matchups that you're going to need to keep a close eye on. A lot of the one-on-ones, you know, Jason Peters versus Chase Young. The old guard versus the new. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch. DeSean Jackson versus Ronald Darby is going to be a big one. Terry McLaurin and Darius Slay on the other side. It's a fun matchup for sure. And the Eagles right now are heavy favorites. I think, what were they, 6.5-point favorites from Vegas? Or maybe they gave them 7. I know it's at least 6, but the Eagles are favorites heading down to D.C. Some of the big storylines on the offensive side of the football for the Eagles, and of course, offense is what gets the people going, right? Every football fan, for the most part, loves, you know, hard-nosed defense, especially the Philadelphia Eagles fan base. But offense is the flashy, exciting part, and I know we've talked about it all offseason, and we continue to talk about these weapons that Carson Wentz has, but I can't stop talking about it. I'm just so excited to see Jalen Reagor, the complementing styles of Reagor and DeSean Jackson with Ertz and Goddard and Greg Ward and Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. In the game last night, the Chiefs-Texans season opener made me even more excited because I'm watching the Chiefs, who are already unstoppable, right? They're these Super Bowl champions with Patrick Mahomes and all these explosive weapons, right? Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, and then you add Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the backfield, this Brian Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, a typical Andy Reid type of running back. You watch this guy, he was like the missing piece, right? he was that last element that the Chiefs offense didn't have, a weapon in the backfield. And you saw him tear up that Texans defense. And why was it so easy for him? Of course, he's just an incredible talent as a first round pick out of LSU, but he's dismantling 6-man boxes because the Texans can't load the box when you have to deal with Hill, Hardman, Watkins, Travis Kelce. I mean, what are you supposed to do? It's kind of pick your poison. If you go cover two and have two deep safeties and you're trying to take the top off and or you're trying to make sure they don't take the top off, and that is Hill, Watkins, and Hardman, well, then you're going to leave space over the middle in a light box for Travis Kelce and Edwards-Helaire. And then if you do go heavy, you know, down at the line to try to stop those two, there's going to be a one-on-one matchup somewhere that one of those receivers can exploit. And that's why having those complementing styles is so huge. And the Eagles have not had that really since Torrey Smith in 2017, with Nelson Aguilar as well being an incredible deep threat. Last year, they had it for a game with DeSean Jackson, and you saw what it would do for everybody else, including Carson Wentz. Having Jalen Reagor, DeSean Jackson, your deep threats on both sides of the field, having guys inside like Ertz and Goddard and Greg Ward and even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as those possession-like players. And what it's going to do for all of those players to have Miles Sanders and vice versa. Again, it's pick your poison, and I can't wait to see all these guys on the field at once. Hopefully, knock on wood, they all stay healthy. That's a giant if with the Eagles. And look, none of these players outside of, you know, your tight ends and DeSean, Miles Sanders even still, yeah, he should have been Rookie of the Year last year, over 1,300 yards from scrimmage. It was only 1 year. We got to see more from Miles. We don't know what we have yet in Reagor or J-Jaw or, you know, John Hightower for that matter either. It's not the proven ability of the Chiefs, but it is the same style of players, the same combination of weapons. And so yesterday, just seeing the Chiefs at work made me just like think to myself, just get me to Sunday. I just want to see what this Eagles offense looks like in a similar system with similar players. It makes sense that Doug Peterson comes from that Andy Reid tree, and you know, so does Howie Roseman. Just excited to see, you know, not only all of them out there together, but to see the potential long-term pieces for Wentz that become like that next stable. Because right now, who are the featured go-tos and who have they been in the past? DeSean Jackson will be and was last year when he was healthy. It was Alshon Jeffrey for 3 years. Zach Ertz, of course, since Carson Wentz was a rookie. So like those are kind of the three go-tos, and Nelson Aguilar. And it's, you're kind of seeing the other building blocks, like the new era. You can see the foundation pieces in place where eventually this offense could be focused around Jalen Reagor, Miles Sanders, Dallas Goedert. You know, we'll see what happens with Ertz's contract. You heard him talk the other day about how he wants to be in Philadelphia long term, but he's not sure if the feeling is mutual. And, you know, we've gotten into that to death on this show. But who knows if Ertz gets traded next year, if they don't want to break the bank on him and he won't take a team-friendly deal, this offense in a year or two could be all about Reagor, Sanders, Goddard, and then I think at least one of two between J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and John Hightower. So it's just fun to see all of them out there with, you know, Jackson and Ertz as well. It's just such a awesome group of players that has a massive potential in 2020 and beyond. And again, I can't wait to see them on the field together. DeSean Jackson, man, he's going to be so crucial to starting this year faster. That's the one big thing the Eagles need desperately this year, is to not only start the season faster, where you're not 2-2, 2-3, 3-3, 4-3, where to get on a run early so you don't have to make up for it in the end, where last year, the year before, you're 5-7, you're 6-7, in order to make sure you don't have to win out and get help to make the playoffs, you got to start faster. And also, why aren't they starting fast in the season? It's because a lot of the time the offense is starting slow, especially their scripted first 15 plays. Like the first half Eagles offense the last 2 years has been abysmal. And so they got to start faster that way to start faster in general. And DeSean Jackson's going to be crucial to that. You saw that last year. And when he got hurt, they really didn't have a solution in replacing him because Nelson Aguilar wasn't that guy. And that's what they were banking on when they passed up on guys like DK Metcalf in the NFL draft. And DeSean Jackson, I'm expecting that fast start. He's got a great matchup against this Washington secondary. And he is, I wrote an article on LockedOnEagles.com the other day, DeSean Jackson is a week one walking highlight machine. Listen to these numbers. Over 12 season openers for D-Jacks. He currently has 59 receptions for 931 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's an average of 4.9 receptions per week one game, 77.5 yards, and a half a touchdown. That's pretty impressive. In 6 of those games, 50% of his week one matchups have included at least 100 receiving yards. His rookie year in 2008 against St. Louis, this was his debut. 6 catches for 106 yards, a 47-yard catch on his second career snap, and a 60-yard punt return in the third quarter. DeSean Jackson, and he hasn't slowed down. In 2018, week one against New Orleans with Tampa Bay, he had 146 yards and 2 touchdowns week one. And we all remember last year, he had 154 yards and 2 touchdowns against this same Washington team. That's 300 yards and 4 touchdowns for a 33-year-old receiver in 2 season openers. So D-Jax is crucial to this start. The football season is already exciting as it is when it opens up, but to have one of the most exciting players in NFL history on this offense, I can't wait to see him out there on Sunday, especially against Ronald Darby, because you guys know how I feel about Darby. This was a guy that continued to get the benefit of the doubt from Jim Schwartz. He got injured as much as anybody, if not more. More than Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, Jalen Mills, and he was as inconsistent as those guys, and yet Jim Schwartz always put him out there. He got beat on double moves. His speed didn't matter if he was in the area because he couldn't make a play on the football. Darby finally somewhere else in the NFC East, and they better hit him on at least one big sluggo route on Sunday. It's also fun to see, sticking with storylines at wide receiver, I was thinking about Greg Ward and how, yeah, you want, ideally, J-Jaw to step up. You want your three to be DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, right? I think that's who you want featured as your three receivers and 11 personnel. Or, you know, for me and a lot of Eagles fans, John Hightower. Like, you want three of those four to be the go-tos at this position. But if not, you have your new kind of Jason Avant-like player in Greg Ward, who Carson Wentz trusts and he can rely on. And I was thinking about Ward. I mean, he's going to play for sure. Again, there's going to be times he's in the slot with D-Jax and Reagor outside, or maybe even Reagor sometimes comes inside. But, you know, Ward is going to play a lot on Sunday. And it's crazy. I was thinking about the last time the Eagles played Washington and how Ward was this hero that scores a game-winning touchdown with only like 30 seconds left over Josh Norman. One-on-one, just Randy Mosses it, goes up and gets the football. It's crazy from right now to then how far this guy has come. And even before that game where he becomes a playoff hero for the Eagles, this was a practice squad guy year after year, could not crack the 53-man roster for the Eagles. Guys like Paul Turner were talked about more. Mac Hollins, Shelton Gibson. Who was Marcus Johnson, right? Yeah, Marcus Johnson in 2017 made the team over Greg Ward. This guy couldn't make the roster until last year. They had no choice but to keep him on the team and to play him because of all the injuries. He turns into this playoff hero that gets hot with Wentz down the stretch, helps the Eagles win 4 straight games and win the NFC East. So he becomes this, you know, folklore type of mythical hero in Eagles history. And now from that point on, he is now a potential starter, and he was a shoo-in to make the roster. It's so cool, whether or not you believe that he should be a starter or a long-term piece of the puzzle, and I agree, like, I want the Eagles to not need Ward. I want J.J. or Hightower to step up, and Reagor as well, and for Jackson to stay healthy, but it's awesome to see his story and how far he's come from a quarterback at the University of Houston to a practice squad guy to a playoff hero to now a shoe-in to make the roster and a potential starter. It is a really cool story, and he is your emergency plan. If none of those other options work, you always have Greg Ward to go to, and that's just a nice comforting feeling. Again, I don't want him to be your wide receiver one or two, but it's very nice to know that you have that kind of guy inside for Wentz, a player that Wentz really trusts. Louis DiBiase joining you on today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Coming up next, we'll get into some defensive storylines for the Birds with this season opener coming up on Sunday against Washington. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, Louis DiBiase wrapping up this week of podcasts. Be sure to subscribe because right after the game on Sunday, we'll have the Locked On Eagles postgame show with myself and Gino Camilleri. Hopefully, we're talking about a win. The Eagles can hopefully get off on the right foot again in a week one battle with Washington, which they normally win. They've won 8 of their last 9 season openers. They've only lost 2 season openers in the last 10, and that was 2010 against Green Bay and 2015 against Atlanta. Speaking of season openers, earlier this week on the podcast, I did an entire episode where I ranked the Eagles season openers of the 2010s from 1 to 10. That was a lot of fun, so be sure to check out that episode as well. We talked about offensive storylines in segment 2. Let's get into the defensive side now. Washington, I was thinking about this the other day. Washington kind of represented last year, right? And there was a lot of instances where you knew the issues with the Eagles on defense, right? The blowout against the Vikings and against the Cowboys in back-to-back weeks. And for years before that, you knew what the issue with this team was on the defensive side of the football. But Washington last year, week one, and that final game week 15, that matchup kind of showed Washington exploited what the Eagles' issues were, why they couldn't be a Super Bowl team. And that was the secondary and speed, the inability to handle speed matchups on an opposing team's offense. And Washington came in with a rookie third-round pick in Terry McLaurin at receiver and a rookie quarterback in Dwayne Haskins that was having a terrible year. I mean, he did nothing to make that organization feel good. That was until he played Philadelphia week 15. He tore up that secondary of Jalen Mills, of Ronald Darby, of Avante Maddox. They dismantled that secondary. Dwayne Haskins, the Eagles secondary, made what looked like a bust look like an elite quarterback. He was doing anything he wanted to that defensive backfield. And of course, so did Ryan Fitzpatrick. And again, there are other instances, but I'm thinking about it just for this matchup that Washington was kind of that last straw where I'm like, they have to do something about these liabilities on defense. They've got to be able to cover a Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin in both games took a huge pass to the house for a touchdown. He gave Rasul Douglas, Jalen Mills, Sidney Jones, Ronald Darby, he gave them fits last year. So what did the Eagles do this offseason? They went out and they prioritized improvements in the defensive backfield, specifically with a niche of being able to cover fast, quick-twitch athletes, right? You trade for Darius Slay, a top-tier cornerback whose forte is being able to handle the premier route runners and the deep threats of the NFL. You bring in Nickell Roby-Coleman, an athletic, fast slot cornerback that's been one of the best inside defensive backs in the league over the past couple years. What else do? You move Avante Maddox to the outside again. You don't care that he's 5'9". He's athletic. He's got long-range speed. He's got hops. You want athletes at this position. That's why they didn't believe in Rasul Douglas. They let him go. That's why they didn't want Sidney Jones anymore. All the injuries made Sidney Jones somebody that can't move anymore, really, as well as he used to at the University of Washington. What do they do at safety? They brought in versatile pieces that can cover these kind of players. Will Parks, Kayvon Wallace, drafting him in the 4th round out of Clemson, one of the best inside defensive backs in college over 3 years. PFF actually said he was number 1 per their grading system. So Washington last year, how they gave the Eagles fits, and almost, yeah, the Eagles beat them both games, week 1 and week 15, but why did an upset almost happen? Because bad quarterbacks looked better. The Eagles' defensive backs made bad quarterbacks look better. And a huge reason was because they had no idea how to cover speed like Terry McLaurin. This year, I'm not fearing that matchup. Every year when a Terry McLaurin and Amari Cooper, heck, a DeSean Jackson would play this Eagles defense, this secondary, I'd say they have no chance. And now with Darius Slay, with Roby-Coleman, with Maddox, with all those safeties, you know, Will Parks is out, but you've got versatility there still. I feel really good about this defensive matchup on Sunday, and I think the Eagles are going to come away with a win. week one and go 1-0. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy your Saturday. You can stop listening to us for a day. Take a break. You've had 6 episodes this week to digest. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform, and then we'll see you Sunday after the game for the Locked On Eagles post-game show, baby. It's time. Bird season is among us. Let's enjoy some football on Sunday. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.